Portions of this podcast have been edited due to copyright.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Now it's time for the Mercedes in the Morning Pre-Show, Mix 94.1.
Good morning and welcome to the pre-show. It is Tuesday, August 11th. It is 5:31. Thank you for being here. How was the first day of school, everyone? How did you guys do? Was it chaotic? New schedules? I saw a couple of people complaining about just like their middle schoolers having to get up earlier. But other than that, I didn't see too many complaints on the new start times. How about you?
Yeah, I didn't hear anything either. And I was asking James because he goes into work at 8 a.m. So I'm like, oh no, back to school traffic. He goes, I didn't experience a thing. And I'm like, are they on to something with the new time change as far as traffic goes? So I don't know. That's just an outsider looking in because I'm not really in it.
Yeah. I was kind of freaked out. I was like, wait, am I early? Am I late? Because there was like no traffic out when I was coming in. And I usually once school starts, I see a lot. And same thing today. Like, I don't know. Maybe with the later start times for the high school and elementary, it's just kind of making the majority of people start later.
Yeah.
So it's been kind of odd, but good first day for my daughter. Her last first day. So she had a really good day, meeting the teachers and all that kind of stuff. But it was good overall over here.
Did she complain about anything from school, or is she like dreading something from this? You're like, oh, I gotta do this.
No, it was actually a really good day for her. She was kind of telling me about what she's got going on with some of her classes this year and some of her teachers. And so, yeah, she didn't have any homework last night, which was nice. So I was like, wow, things are getting off to a good start.
And if you give out homework on the first day of school, come on.
I've seen it happen before with both of them before. Yeah.
No.
So, yeah, I'm like, who does that on the first day? But yeah, so she had a really good day yesterday. Talked a little bit about that. And then, man, last night I finally, Sunday was the season finale of House of Dragon, and I watched the beginning of it, but it was like an hour and a half episode, so I couldn't watch the end. Have you watched it yet?
I watched the whole entire thing.
Yeah.
Honestly, 80% of it I couldn't watch because it was so bloody.
Yeah, it was very bloody. I was just kind of like, meh, at the end. I was like, that's it? I literally said that when it ended. I go, that was it?
I was annoyed. I was like, seriously, we waited this whole entire time for this season finale. And I'm like, oh, another cliffhanger.
And it's going to be 2 years before we get another,
season.
Well, that's usually what they are,
gosh.
So it's just, yeah, so ridiculous. So anyway, it was fine, but whatever.
Yeah.
I was just kind of bummed out on
and
that.
I'm just upset. Like, seriously, at least give us a little bit more as a cliffhanger.
Yeah, it's just, there was like, not that you need an ending and you need to wrap everything up on a bow. I get it. You want us to come back the next season, but I just felt like nothing was solved.
Yeah. And if you think about every single storyline, it never ended.
Yeah,
it's all continuing to the next season. But
I know.
Anyway.
So how was your night yesterday?
My night was good. James and I are on this health kick. So we're trying to go to the gym more. So we went to the gym and then we went to, then he cooked dinner and he's been like on a ground beef thing. We're on ground beef, rice, and broccoli. Like that's kind of in our rotation with different type of sauces. And then we're rewatching Avatar: The Last Airbender just because that's our favorite show and it's our comfort thing, and we have one more episode to go and I don't want it to end.
Oh, but you've already seen it, right?
We've seen it like 2 or 3 times.
So you just restart it. It'll never end if you keep watching it over and over again.
Yeah, and that was kind of our night. It's
awesome.
Kind of simple.
Well, we've got a lot coming up on the show this morning. I'm so glad that you guys are back with us, especially you kids who are back to school. We've got your tickets to see Benson Boone at 7:30 this morning with the Mega Minute, so make sure you're listening for that. And also 9 o'clock hour, be listening for the Backstreet Boys keyword of the day. When you hear that, you're going to want to text that keyword to 20357 and you possibly are going to win a pair of tickets to see the Backstreet Boys at the Sphere, their residency just got extended. They added some like New Year's shows, and so really cool stuff there. Also at 7 o'clock this morning with Beat Mercedes, we've got tickets for you to see Lindsey Stirling. That show was just announced yesterday. She's coming to town for her holiday show. It's going to be so much fun, and tickets for you at 7 with Beat Mercedes. So let's get this show started.
Hey! You're listening to Mercedes in the Morning on Mix 94.1.
A child canceled a flight. Not delayed it, canceled it for 80-something strangers over a curfew that nobody in that cabin had any control over. What would you have done if you were on it? Here's what happened. This Porter Airlines flight out of Victoria had already pushed back from the gate, started rolling towards the runway when the crew saw this kid standing up in his seat, and no one could get this kid to sit down and buckle up. So they turned the plane around and taxied back to the gate, deplaned the kid and the parent. Should have been the end of it, right? Except by the time they got them and their luggage and refiled the paperwork, they'd blown past the Victoria Airport's midnight curfew.
Oh,
flight's dead. Everyone else on that plane, all the people who did nothing wrong except book a seat on that plane, they all ended up having to cancel that flight. All the people had to now find a hotel, catch a new flight 24 hours later. One of the passengers said that she had already been sitting on that plane for almost an hour before the kid finally came on. And the airline hasn't said if they're compensating anyone. A lot of people online are saying that parents need to get fined for stuff like this. Not, you know, not the airlines eating the cost. The parents should be refunding each and every single person on that plane and paying for their hotel because it was their child that caused the issue. At what point are you allowed to just physically sit your kid down and hold that belt closed yourself, right?
Yeah.
I don't understand why, as a parent, you wouldn't be absolutely mortified and do everything you can to get that kid sitting down instead of letting the plane taxi back to the airport.
I don't understand it either, but I'm also wondering, like, as the stewardess or whatever airline is responsible, are they actually saying, hey, guys, we have 5 minutes or 10 minutes for your child to sit down. Either we taxi back or and you guys go off yourselves, or this whole flight is canceled. Is that an option there? Like giving the parents the responsibility, like, hey, you need to get off so we're not taking everybody off.
Well, I think the issue is that you can't give a parent that amount of power, right? Like, hey, either you get off or we cancel the whole flight. They ended up with that power in the long run, but I don't think they thought between getting them off the plane, going back to the airport, refiling the paperwork, that it would take so long that they would miss the curfew.
Got it.
That's what I think happened. But I just, sometimes I feel here, you know, in 2026 that like kids have so much control over their parents. I see it so often, not everyone, but I'll see some kids who you can tell they run the show. They run the show at home. If that kid doesn't want to do something, mom and dad are like, oh, okay.
The gentle parenting.
Yeah, it goes beyond gentle parenting. It's like pushover parenting, right? These kids, they just what they want, that's what goes. And there's no pushback from the parents. And it's really, it's getting bad. This is a prime example of that. Would you have been sympathetic, like sitting there watching your own flight get canceled, like, oh, this parent has to deal with this? Or would you be like, get them off of here?
Yes,
you know?
I would be like, if I was that passenger three rows back, I'm like, they need to get off, or what's going to happen? Because I'm not going to be one of the victims of the cancellation, although it got to that point. My question for you is, if you're the parent, how would you discipline your toddler in those moments?
Honestly, that is forcefully sit them down. You're stronger than them. Buckle them up and hold your arm over them until we take off. Look, that's what you got to do. You have to assert your parenting rights here. And yeah. I am not going to cancel an entire flight because, well, you know, he just is uncomfortable. He wants to stand. No. No, then don't fly. Yeah. Drive, you know? What do you think? 702-364-9400. Do you think that kids are kind of walking all over their parents? Not all, of course, but you see a pattern of it. Do you feel bad? Do you feel like, oh, you know, they can't, sometimes you can't control your kids. And I do agree with that to some extent, but it's up to you to remove yourself from the situation.
Yeah.
You know,
I would be mortified if I were that parent for sure.
This text just came in. It says parents need to control their children. No way that flight should have been canceled. At some point you have to parent. I'd be PO'd. Yes. This one says my daughter did this exact thing at 2. I bear hugged her into that seat like I was wrestling a greased pig. Not proud, but we made the flight.
Welcome to another episode of Mercedes in the Morning. And now, here's your host, Mercedes!
Good morning and welcome to the show. It is Tuesday, August 11th. It is 6:03. Thank you for being here. How was everyone's first day of school? You survived. You got through it. Here we are on Tuesday. It was a great day for my daughter. She had a really good last first day of school. And yeah, just going to the school and stuff, like traffic was good. I was like, everyone is on their best behavior. I wonder if it's because it's the first day of school, you
and
know?
And the weather wasn't that hot.
No. Well, I mean, we say that it was 105. So you're right. It wasn't that hot by our standards,
and
right?
98 degrees this week. I was like, wait, are we actually net the double digits now? I'm so excited.
I know. It's so funny. How was your day yesterday?
It was good. You are actually going to be so proud of me. I finally tried Swig.
Oh, I love Swig. It's my favorite.
I know. I feel like I'm so late to the party, though, like all the dirty sodas and stuff. And so when we went, what did I get? I got the Spring Fling with Popping Boba. Oh my God, it was good.
What else is in that? I've never heard of that one
before.
Okay,
so it's Dr. Pepper, vanilla, strawberry puree, coconut cream, and then the strawberry and popping boba. It stole the show.
Oh my gosh. I always get the popping pineapple.
Ooh.
And there's popping boba in that one,
yes,
too. It's so good.
Okay, but why hasn't anyone told us about another item at Swig that I feel like it's a secret? Have you tried the chocolate chip cookies at Swig before?
Of course, and the pretzel bites.
What am I doing? So I'm over here thinking like, oh, you know, let's get a dirty soda. And James, for some reason, because it was our first time, we asked the girl at the drive-thru. And he goes, have you tried the cookies before? And she, her face lit up. She goes, I have the cookies every single time I work. And we're like, okay, let's get 10 of the chocolate chip. I was kind of hesitant at first because the cookies are cold.
They're tiny and they're cold.
I'm like, what the heck? Why am I eating a cold chocolate chip cookie? So I ate my words because once I ate the cookie, I was like, this is the best thing ever. Why hasn't people talked about the cookies at Swig before?
That you're like my daughter. She loves those cookies. I think they're okay. I'm not like totally down with the coldness. Like, you know, they're nice because they're like bite-sized. You just pop one in your mouth and stuff. But what I love is, and it's a seasonal item, and it's going to be here soon, I hope. In the fall, they have these pumpkin chocolate chip cookies.
Oh.
And they're like, they're bigger and they're like kind of fluffy and
do they also get served cold?
They are cold, but they're different consistency than those chocolate chip cookies. So
okay.
they're more like a muffin top. Like, you know, the top of a muffin, how it's kind of like,
yeah,
it's kind of like that. And
ooh,
they are so good.
I did not expect to go to Swig thinking like, oh, you know, maybe I'll try a dirty soda. And then I left thinking like the cookies were the best thing ever.
Well, yeah, no, they have definitely a cult following. So I usually, you know, my daughter will get those. I like getting the pretzel bites with the cheese and stuff. Those are always delicious. But yeah, that's my favorite place, man. I love going there, grabbing a drink. I always replace my drink. It comes with Sprite, but I replace it with Fresca to cut back on calories. So good.
Okay, wait, what's your order?
It's the Poppin' Pineapple.
but with Fresca.
But Fresca instead of Sprite.
I need a... Okay, now I'm getting really onto the sweet cult.
I know.
I'm right
the dirty soda thing. It's like, yeah. I feel like, you know, I don't have a lot of vices, right? I don't drink it anymore. I don't really eat a ton of sugar. That's going to be my vice, is dirty sodas.
It's good. Yeah. I can see why people love it.
All right. We've got a lot coming up on the show this morning. In less than an hour at 7 o'clock with Beat Mercedes, we've got a pair of tickets for you to see Lindsay Sterling. She is coming to town. A really cool, like, holiday show that she's bringing to the Venetian, and we've got those tickets for you with Beat Mercedes at 7:30. Tickets for Benson Boone. He's going to be in town this weekend, and we want you to go. We'll give those away at 7:30 with the Mega Minute, and make sure you're listening in the 9 o'clock hour for the Backstreet Boys Word of the Day. When you hear us announce that keyword sometime in the 9 o'clock hour, you're going to want to text that keyword immediately to our text line number, not the normal text line where you reach out to us, but our special contest text line number, which is 20357. Write that down right now. You'll text that word there, and you could possibly win a pair of tickets to see the Backstreet Boys at the Sphere. So that will be very cool. And coming up next, we have What's Trending. Anne Hathaway, she's pregnant with baby number 3, but instead of congratulations, people online started questioning whether her baby bump was even real. Her response coming up next in What's Trending.
Are you guys ready? All right, let's check in on the hot topics trending.
Mercedes in the Morning's What's Trending? What's Trending on Mix 94.1.
Anne Hathaway is trending this morning. She's pregnant with baby number 3, and somehow people on the internet looked at that happy news and decided we need to investigate this. So she's 43 years old, and she was showing off her baby bump at a movie premiere. And these photos of this started circulating online. And then people started analyzing her stomach, saying that the bump looked strange. And they were questioning the shape of it. And eventually suggested she was wearing a fake pregnancy belly. And Anne clearly saw enough of the speculation, because she jumped on Instagram and gave everybody 4 words: fake hair, real bump. That's all she said. Which I mean, that's about as much of a response as the speculation deserved, honestly. But what makes the whole thing even crazier is that she has been really open about having a difficult road to motherhood. When she announced a previous pregnancy, she specifically talked about infertility and reminded people who were going through it themselves that her pregnancies have not been an easy journey either. So she and her husband, Adam Shulman, they've been married since 2012. They already have 2 boys. So this is going to be baby number 3 for them. But instead of the conversation being, hey, Anne Hathaway is having another baby, we somehow ended up with strangers studying pictures of her stomach and deciding whether she looks pregnant enough.
And why is that the conversation? It's just the weirdest thing. And I'm looking at the pictures. Who are we to judge and say, oh, nope, that's a fake baby bump. I can already tell. There's no reasoning she would do that.
Yeah, and even if she did. So I know celebrities give up some privacy when they're famous. I get that. And I agree with it. But do we really need to be doing these forensic analysis on a woman's baby bump now? Like, give me a break. And I love how she handled it. I think she handled it perfectly. She didn't write some giant statement or get into a fight with people online. You know, she said basically the hair may not be mine, but yes, the stomach is mine.
And I love how she's wearing low-rise jeans on a red carpet. I'm like, oh, she's my idol.
Rocket girl. And that's what's trending.
Mix 94.1. This is Mercedes in the Morning.
My kid's senior parking spot almost sent me to the ER over the weekend. I mentioned this a little bit yesterday, how, you know, she's a senior now and they get to paint their parking spots. And First of all, I don't know if you've seen some of the other pictures of parking spots that are floating around online, but
yeah,
they're amazing.
The one that impressed me the most was the recreation of Kanye West's graduation album. The details on these parking spots are insane.
You got to look at some of these online. They are so good. These kids are so talented, so creative. So my daughter did hers over the weekend, and she was kind of overwhelmed with all of it. She said some of her friends were going to help her, but they were also working on their spots. So it wasn't easy to get everyone together. So my husband and I are like, well, you know, we can help out, you know. So we went out there, and, you know, if the talent out there is unreal. And I'm no artist, but my kids think I'm an artist. I am not. I just try to do my best, basically. So my mom, my daughter's like, hey, can you do like the words? Can you help me with the buildings? Because she was doing a whole Gossip Girl theme. So her spot was the New York City skyline. And then it says XOXO Brooklyn on it. And so I'm like, this like seems a little intricate. I don't know if I'm good at this. And she's like, you're so good at art. You're so good at art. And I posted a picture of her spot on my Instagram. If you want to check it out, it's on my story right now. And yeah, it came out pretty good. I have to admit it came out decent, but we're out there. And when she asked if we could help, what she actually meant was Matt and I doing the painting while she stood there handing us brushes and peeling tape, basically. Direction and moral support, mostly, was what she was giving us. So it's 115 degrees out there. We are on our hands and knees on blacktop that is basically a griddle at this point, painting a New York City skyline for 2 hours. And at one point, I genuinely thought I was going to pass out. Like, my head, I got really lightheaded and I stood up and I could feel myself stumble. I go, oh, I got to go sit in the car for a minute. So I go sit in the car, blast the AC on me. And Matt's like, are you okay? I'm like, I don't know. I don't think I am. He's like, you want me to take you to urgent care? I'm like, no, I'm going to just chill here for a little more, drink some water. We finished. Get home that night. Same thing with Matt. He's like, I think I have a heat stroke. Full body aches, nausea, the whole thing. Have you ever been injured by your kid on accident? Like you had to do something for them and it made you injured or sick. 702-364-9400. The spot turned out great. Would I do it again? Absolutely. But I mean, that's what we do for our kids now. But have you ever done something for your kids where you're like questioning your decision making? You're like, why did I do this? This physically wrecked me. 702-364-9400.
I pre-posted the story on our story at Mercedes in the AM if you want to see it. The skyline looks incredible.
Thank you. I did that.
The XOXO Brooklyn the font is great.
Thank you.
Good job. I'm sorry you had to go through that.
Poor Matt. He was painting the entire like pink, like with the roller all over the place. It was so funny.
I don't know if you guys did this here in Nevada or maybe in Colorado, but in California, we do this fourth grade project called the Mission Project, where we picked one of the Spanish missions and we have to recreate it like a diorama or a 3D. And my mom is literally the artist in our family. She goes, don't worry, I'll help you. This woman took over. She like basically had a sugar. She was so creative with the buildings. She made everything out of sugar cubes.
Oh my gosh.
So she's gluing, she's putting everything in all the sugar cubes together. By the end of the night, it's like 2 a.m. She hasn't finished. I'm like, Mom, we're done. We gotta sign off now. By the time she was done, I think it was like 4 a.m. because, I just admit it, she's waking up with a headache. She's complaining that her fingers are hurting. Mm-hmm. And she doesn't want my help. But because she wanted to take over, she goes, I got this. Don't worry about it.
Sometimes it's just easier to just power through it, get injured, be miserable, and get it done. So you don't have to worry about fixing someone else's mistake.
I got an A on the project, though.
Exactly. Marisol just texted, I painted my son's whole truck for a themed birthday party once. Primer paint, clear coat, the works in my driveway in June. Oh my gosh, are you alive? Are you texting us from beyond? This one says, we built a two-story pallet fort for a school project at 11 p.m. the night before it was due. I fell off a ladder. Nothing broken, but my pride took a hit. Kenny says, help my daughter build a robot for a competition and burn my hand on a soldering iron twice. She won first place, so I guess it was worth it. I guess so. And then this one says, I ran a 5K I did not train for because my kids signed us both up as a surprise.
Wow.
I could not walk for 3 days. No, at that point, I literally cheat. I'm like, where's the finish line? I'll meet you there.
Yeah.
Then we cross the finish.
Hot, hot, hot. It's time for the Hot 3 on Mix 94.1.
So jury selection kicked off for the Tupac Shakur murder trial. And this one, it's happening right here in our own backyard in our Las Vegas courtroom. Dwayne Keefe D. Davis is the man accused of orchestrating the drive-by that killed Tupac back in September of 1996. He's convicted. If he's convicted, he's looking at life in prison without the possibility of parole nearly 30 years later. And we're only now watching this case go to trial. That's crazy, right?
It's so insane.
Yeah, the DA's office submitted a witness list with over 200 names on it, which should tell you exactly how deep and tangled this whole thing is. Tupac was sitting at a red light when a white Cadillac pulled up beside him and opened fire. He was hit multiple times, died 6 days later. And it became one of those moments that changed music forever. Opening arguments start on August 17th, and the man everybody assumed would finally have to answer questions under oath, Suge Knight, believed to be the last surviving witness to that night, is already saying publicly he wants to be left out of it completely.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so we'll see. After 3 decades of theories and documentaries and conspiracy theories, maybe we'll get some real answers, or maybe we'll get 30 more years of no one wanting to talk. Who knows?
Were you living here? When did you move here then?
I moved here a couple years after.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I remember being in Denver with my friends, and we're like, oh my gosh, like we could believe that.
25
yeah.
years old Tupac was when he died.
I know. It's
can't
crazy.
Imagine. I would be really interested because I believe they're doing like a public lottery to just be sitting in the courtroom for during these times. I would love just to be there. I don't want to be part of the jury. I just want to be able to witness it.
Yeah, I was watching the news yesterday, and they were talking about the jury selection and how they were asking these people about, we were talking last week about how I really want to be on a jury. And they're saying how they're probably going to be needed for a month. Can people do this? Work obligations, family care obligations, or questioning all these people. And it's like, that is a big commitment. When I said I wanted to do jury duty, I was thinking about a day, maybe two, but I don't want to do a whole month long trial.
It sounds stressful because you have to really work with the jury. They take your phones away. You have to can't talk to family. That's a commitment.
And they were asking people like, what do you know about this case? Do you know who Tupac is? And Matt and I, we were talking about it, and I was like, they'd have to get someone that's either Gen Z or someone that's a boomer.
Mm-hmm.
Because Gen X and millennials know who Tupac is.
He's one of my favorite rappers.
Yeah,
I'd be biased.
it'd have to be someone really young that doesn't know a lot about him, or really old. Like, put my mom on that jury. She'd be like,
what's
two? Is there a 3-pack?
Or a 4-pack?
Yeah. Also this morning, speaking of millennials, they have officially decided that romance is optional, and best friends might be the real soulmates when it comes to raising your kids. There's this new type of parenting that millennials are embracing called platonic co-parenting. And it's exactly what it sounds like. People who split from their spouses, who never wanted the marriage part to begin with, are moving in together and building families as a team. No dating required.
What?
Yeah. So basically, when it's a group of moms doing it, they're not calling it a commune. They're calling it a mommune. And that's a good branding decision. I really like that one. There are literal apps now for finding a platonic co-parent. So somewhere out there, people are literally swiping right, hoping to find someone to split school pickup with them instead of a soulmate. And the people living this way swear it actually works better, because when you take romance out of the equation, the fighting over dishes and discipline and who forgot the permission slip and all of that goes way down, which fine, I believe that, but I do have questions about how you explain to your co-parent that you have zero interest in them romantically.
Oh, like, is your husband coming to the PTO? Oh, that's not my husband. That's my friend. We just have a kid together.
I don't like him like that, but he helps me raise my parents. I don't know. Someone out there is getting friend-zoned so hard. I actually kind of feel bad about that.
But honestly, like, the way of the world with, like, dating nowadays and how hard it is to find, like, a romantic partner, but you want a kid? Why wouldn't you
people
be interested
are just
in
not interested
like
in the romance part. Like, I get it. Yeah, it's so confusing.
Could
right?
Could you see yourself being with like a mom?
No, people would get on my nerves way too much. I am very much like, I need to do this by myself and just get out of my way.
So you'd be a single mother.
Finally, this morning, 7Up just did something it has not done in over 15 years, and it's gonna mess with everyone who grew up on this soda. They are officially changing the formula of 7Up. And here's the part that kind of hurt a little bit. It's no longer being called a lemon lime soda.
Why?
Yeah, it's now, and I promise I'm not making this up, it's now a lime lemon soda.
Oh my gosh, just because there's more lime than lemon?
They swapped the words on purpose because the lime is taking the lead role now across the basic, like basically the whole lineup, regular, zero sugar, cherry zero, all of it got the lime forward treatment. And the company is saying this is their biggest brand shift in over 15 years. And they're pointing to research claiming that Gen Z and Gen Alpha, they want bolder, they want more citrus heavy flavors. So these new cans and bottles will actually say lime lemon right on the front. So old school lemon lime loyalists, you're going to know something has shifted there. I guess one influencer got an early bottle and did a side by side test with the old formula. And her verdict was basically that it is there if you're paying close attention, slightly more lime smell, a little bit less sweetness, but if you're not tasting them back to back, you probably won't notice.
Okay, now is there a preference? Like, do you prefer limes over lemons or lemons over limes?
I think I prefer lemons over limes, honestly. I mean, I'm not like against limes by any means, but that's just kind of what I know. But I'm willing to give it a shot. I'm not against it.
You know what? I do actually prefer limes more than lemons, and I think it's because I just attribute to like eating Mexican food. I'm always eating it with limes. If right. I'm eating Mexican food with lemons, don't call me Mexican.
Yeah,
don't do it.
Well, when life hands you limes, make limeade. Is that what you're saying now?
It's 94.1. This is Mercedes in the morning.
Has anyone gotten their hands on a Mama Llama cinnamon roll yet?
A what?
A Mama Llama cinnamon roll. Or are you one of the poor souls who've tried and failed? Do you know what? You haven't heard about the Mama Llamas?
I've heard a little bit about Mama Llama, but no, I'm not the most familiar.
Okay, so here's the deal. Right now, this might be the hardest thing to get in Las Vegas. Harder than like a VGK playoff ticket or anything like that. Mama Llama Bakery. Has anyone heard of this, tried to get the cinnamon rolls? 702-364-9400. It's run by a woman named Lindsay. It's out of her home kitchen here in Vegas. And the whole thing started with a pregnancy craving, basically. She's a stay-at-home mom, and she kept craving cinnamon rolls with both of her pregnancies. So she was buying like the organic kind from the store, but she couldn't stand the fact that they had seed oils in them. So she just started making her own, and she started experimenting with recipes, tweaking them over time. And she finally got them to where she wanted, and they were so good. So she launched this little micro bakery back in April, and it was a slow kind of process, a slow build. And then all of a sudden, one Instagram video in July just boom, exploded, made her viral, showing these cinnamon rolls. You guys, these things look incredible, thick and gooey and just, oh my gosh. So that one video pulled in over 300,000 likes and thousands of people asking, how do I get some of these? So, you know, she couldn't believe what was happening, but here's where it turns into an actual sport, okay? She doesn't just sell whatever she wants. She drops the rolls randomly, I think on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and you have to sign up for text alerts and through a hot plate just to have a shot. So when the text hits, it's go time. And you have to like try to get in there so you can get one of these four packs of cinnamon rolls.
Is this like a new sneaker drop that we don't know about? It's a cinnamon roll
yeah,
drop?
It's like, wow. It's like the Hunger Games. So what I love about this is it's like, this is so organic, you know? This is just a woman in her kitchen making these cinnamon rolls and one mom just mixing the dough by hand and doing what she loves, and now everyone's trying to get their hands on them. So I'm doing research last night. I'm like, I really want to try to get these. She's doing a drop today. I'm going to sign up. And then I come across this TikTok, and this is what she said on the TikTok.
Hi, everyone. I have a warning and a violation with the Department of Administrative Services Code Enforcement Unit. I have to cease all operations by August 20th, 2026. And this is because somebody complained about me. And it's unfortunate that when somebody goes viral, this is just stuff that can happen. You know, but I have much bigger plans, and I know that this isn't happening to me. This is happening for me. And so I just want to thank each and every one of you for always supporting me and giving me encouragement. Of course,
someone shut her down.
Rude
haters. What a bunch of haters, yo. Yeah.
Seriously, who else is making cinnamon rolls out there? It's probably that person.
Oh, like a competition?
Yeah, they're like, wait, I want to be viral. I'm going to shut her down. Has anyone had one? Does anyone know her? We've been trying to get in touch with her, but as you can imagine, she's completely like inundated. It was just so funny because I saw Jackie Young from the Aces make a post, and she's like, hey, someone tag the cinnamon roll lady for me. Like, she's trying to get her hands on these cinnamon rolls.
I mean, honestly, and I'm going to be so completely honest with you guys, I'm not a huge cinnamon roll fan.
Oh, you loser.
I know. I know I am a loser.
I love cinnamon roll. No.
And honestly, yes. Because I think I equate it with being at the mall when I'm in middle school, and the smell would just, it was good, but I feel like the smell didn't equate with the taste. Like, I was like, this is a lot of bread. There's not a lot of cinnamon. But here's the thing. I've never tried a Mama Llama cinnamon roll.
Well, you're not going to have much more time to do that, unfortunately.
How can we get our hands on one? Or just talk to her.
Yeah, I want to just know, like, what's going on? What's her next step? Is she planning? Like, just all of this fame so fast. Like, it's got to be overwhelming. Hey, Stephanie, good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Hey, we're talking about the Mama Llama cinnamon rolls. Do you know anything more? Have you had them?
I have not been able to get my hands on them, unfortunately.
Oh, they're so in demand. It's crazy. But do you have some info? What's up?
So I do follow this Instagram and Facebook page. It's just run by a hair. Her name's and her Instagram.
Oh, man, she's cutting out.
Try them.
Did you say that you're on an Instagram page where someone else was trying them?
Yeah, she's a Vegas native here. She's a local mom. Her kids and her husband, they got to.
Oh, man, I'm so jealous. Like, everyone is trying to get their hands on them. And someone just texted, oh, my gosh, are literally blowing up. There were over 7,000 people on the last Mama Llama drop from Amy. This one says she received a cease and desist. She's only doing one more drop for this weekend. This one says, I tried for the first time this weekend with three other people. None of us were able to get any. This one says, I've tried many times and failed. And I saw last night that she posted that she got served with a letter that she cannot do this anymore. And it makes me so sad. Like, why would you try to ruin it for someone? I don't understand that.
And
you know,
I feel like Mama Llama is one of those moms out there that's telling these other stay-at-home moms, or just moms in general, that you can have this side gig and it can be successful. And she's one of those looking up to those, oh, I can make this my side gig, my main thing. And that's what's discouraging about this whole thing.
Someone just texted, maybe she doesn't have a license, doesn't have a health card, doesn't have other permits to go along with it. Good for them for shutting her down. That's all. You know, I do understand that there are health codes that you have to abide by. But also, like, it's, you know, if my neighbor's making cinnamon rolls and she wants to, you know, you want to buy a four pack? I'll buy a four pack. I don't need you to have a health card. It's your choice to go and buy it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I do understand that perspective. It's just so sad, like, when someone has some success, that something like that happens. This one says, I have made it my new sport to try to get one. So far, I have not been successful. Yeah, I guess only one more drop here until she's out of business, which makes me so sad.
So can you tell us what time the drop is?
No, you. I can't because she determines when it's happening. So you can sign up for the text. And then when you get the text, it's like Hunger Games. May the odds forever be in your favor. But did you see the pictures of them?
Yes, I saw the pictures of them. And even the pictures look incredible.
I know.
How does she do... How does she do that?
I'm signing up right now because they dropped today.
I'm signing up too, even though I'm not a cinnamon roll fan.
If you get them, I'll buy them from you.
Is there a black market for the cinnamon rolls?
You can charge her double.
Yeah, I'll pay double for them.
I got you. I'll give you one for free. Don't even worry about it. All right. Are you
ready? It's time for Mercedes in the Morning's Mega Minute.
Hey, Nicole, you're caller 20. Good morning. Woo!
Good morning. Avery's caller 20. She did it.
Oh, Avery, good morning to you. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. Are you guys headed to school this morning?
Yes.
All right. Let's do this. We are ready for the Mega Minute. 10 questions, 60 seconds. You get all 10 correct in that time, and you're going to go see Benson Boone this weekend. If either one of you knows the answer, make sure you shout it out. Shout it out loud, because if I hear the correct answer, we're going to move on to the next question, okay?
Got it.
All right, guys. If you're struggling with the question, you can say pass. Or if you get one wrong, and if we have time at the end, we'll go back to those questions. And the Mega Minute, it starts now.
Which cartoon character's nose grows longer as he lies?
Pinocchio.
Yes. Which planet is closest to the sun?
Oh, my gosh. Saturn?
No, no. Which Las Vegas hotel is Egyptian themed with a giant Sphinx replica? Yes. Bella Swan is a character from what movie franchise?
Twilight.
Yes. What do the letters IQ stand for?
Oh, intelligence quota?
No. Quota? Yes, yes. In which country did the game Mahjong originate?
China.
Yes. Which NFL team's fans are known as cheeseheads?
Minnesota?
No. Kevin Richardson is a member of which boy band?
Oh, say that again.
Kevin Richardson is a member of which boy band?
Backstreet Boys.
Yes. In basketball, how many points is a free throw worth?
Three.
No. Which artist is known for their songs Birds of a Feather and Bad Guy?
Billie Eilish.
Yes, Billie Eilish is right. Oh, Nicole and Avery, you guys did well. We got tripped up on the planet closest to the sun, and that kind of like threw us off a little bit. That's Mercury. Mercury is the planet closest to the sun. Where else? The NFL team's fans that are known as cheeseheads, those are the Green Bay Packers fans. And in basketball, how many points is a free throw worth? That's only 1 point for a free throw. I'm so sorry.
It's time for the Hot 3 on Mix 94.1.
Have you guys heard of these Flock cameras?
No, what yes. are those?
Around town. Oh, man. Well, Flock cameras, a lot of people are saying, are a complete invasion of our privacy. And our Clark County Sheriff, Kevin McMahill, is standing firm on those cameras. All over the valley, the privacy debate, it's just getting bigger. Metro has close to 180 Flock safety cameras and 130 Motorola cameras posted up around Las Vegas. Plus, they have access to over 300 more from apartment complexes and neighborhood watch groups. Oh. And basically, every plate gets photographed and run against law enforcement databases. So it's checks for stolen vehicles or cars that are tied to crimes. And the images sit in storage for 90 days before they get wiped. So the sheriff is insisting that this is not facial recognition. It's just a timestamp, a location, a plate number. And he says Metro only shares the data with legitimate law enforcement for actual investigations. But here's where the privacy advocates are not having it. The ACLU of Nevada says these cameras turn every single driver into a suspect and every errand that you run into like a data point, basically, that the government can pull up later with no warrant at all. So across the country, people are actually vandalizing these flock cameras and cutting them down, spray painting them. And here's the part that I was like, Okay, so this technology, a chunk of it, was funded by this venture capital firm donation, not tax dollars, which means that private money helped build out this surveillance network watching the public streets.
Oh, no. I don't know. I don't like this. I don't like this at all.
I don't like it.
Because at first you're telling me, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, this is going to help security. It's apartment complexes. I live in one. Maybe crime will go down around the city. But now the more that you're saying it and the more the deep-rooted of the private money, that means they have access to our license plate numbers, what our face looked like, where we were, at what time. It feels a little invasive.
Yeah, it's like mass surveillance. Basically, like, everyone's being watched. There's no input by the community on this.
There's none.
There was none. They just put them up.
Yeah, like, we have several in our community, in our gated community. I didn't think anything of it until just now. Thanks, Mercedes.
Now I'm going to be, I've never seen one before.
Yeah, they're all over the place. I was reading that, I mean, they have documented abuse of these cameras. They reviewed over like 12 million searches logged by a bunch of different agencies, and they flagged people using this technology to grab people that weren't even accused of a crime other things. So it I don't know, the backlash is pretty bad on this, and I just feel like the funding transparency was something that needs to be discussed. But I don't know. How do you guys feel about these flock cameras? 702-364-9400.
When you said flock cameras, I thought you were talking about those trees that are fake palm trees and they have cameras in those. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, no, this is a little more intense than that. Also this morning, if you want an excuse to put on your favorite album tonight, science just handed you one. A new study followed adults over the age of 70, and the people who listen to music most days had a 39% lower chance of developing dementia, along with a 17% lower rate of cognitive declines. So that's compared to people who barely listened at all. And it's not just passive listening either. Actually playing an instrument or singing regularly showed a similar protective effect on the brain. So researchers think it's because music lights up so many different regions of the brain at once. And, the parts that are responsible for memory and language and movement, even like human emotional connections. So sing away, blast your music away. It will definitely help you in the long run. Finally, this morning, a mom in Colorado found the ultimate power move for getting a stubborn kid to cooperate on picture day. So I know a lot of you, for the first day of school, love to do the back to school pictures of your kids. Well, Amanda's son, Colton, was refusing. He had like a full meltdown, absolutely would not pose for a back to school photo on his first day of fifth grade. So she did what any resourceful parent would do. She flagged down an actual police officer.
Oh no.
On the way to school and recruited him into her little parenting plan. And the officer committed to this bit, lights flashing, handcuffs out, informing her son very seriously that refusing your mother a first day of school picture is in fact against the law. So they arrested this kid. Talk about traumatizing. Amanda got her photos, but like they're still trying to figure out like which statute the officer was pretending to cite. Nobody actually went to jail, obviously, but I don't know. I feel like this is crossing the line a little bit.
My parents used to scare me like that, too. Oh, if you don't go to bed on time, the police officer's going to come and they're going to arrest you. Like, they did that all the time to me.
Oh, my gosh. But they didn't actually get a police officer to come and threaten to arrest you, did they?
My dad would pretend to be the police officer and bring handcuffs around. I'm like, please stop. Oh my gosh.
All right. Coming up next, you guys are calling about these flock cameras. We've got a couple people on hold. We've got some texts that are coming in. Let's talk about this. What do you think about these flock cameras? Are you for them? Do you think this is going to help our communities? Do you feel like it's a total invasion of privacy? We'll take more of your calls and read your texts here coming up next. It's Mix 94.1.
Woo! Mix 94.1. Home Mercedes in the morning.
Are you okay with police cameras reading your license plate every time you drive down the street? Or does that cross a line for you? That is the question that is blowing up right now, because our sheriff, he's defending Metro's license plate reader cameras, flock cameras. And depending on who you ask, he's either protecting the city or building a surveillance state, one intersection at a time. Metro has close to 180 of these flock cameras and 130 of these Motorola cameras posted all around the valley. Plus, they have access to hundreds more through apartment complexes, neighborhood watch groups, things like that. Every plate that gets passed gets photographed. It gets checked against law enforcement databases, stored for 90 days before it disappears. The sheriff says this isn't facial recognition. It's a time. It's a location. It's a plate number. Nothing more. Metro says the tech helped with over a million criminal investigations last year and helped locate more than 10,000 missing people. But privacy groups, they're not buying it. The ACLU of Nevada says that the cameras turn every driver into a suspect. It turns every errand into basically a data point sitting in this government database, and there's no warrant required. And they did a nationwide review, and they found that a lot of agencies log on to these searches for not valid reasons, finding out who people who were at political protests, who they were. One Texas sheriff's office used the system to uncover the case of a missing person, but it was actually not a missing person. It was tied to an abortion case. They were trying to find that person and said it was a missing person. So some people are abusing this system. Mm-mm-mm. What do you think? We're talking about these flock cameras. 702-364-9400. Jane, good morning. What's your comment?
Good morning. So I actually work in a HOA, and we recently put in the flock cameras, and they have been a crime saver, which has made the community feel so much safer. Only Metro have access to the footage. We do not, but they have been able to track vehicles that sort of get quote unquote lost within the community. And they have actually, you know, arrested people because of these. So I think that there are groups out there that will inflame the situation by sort of scaremongering, and I understand that. But to me, it's a little bit like TSA. You get checked when you go through TSA, and I would rather be safe than sorry. And I know that my errands are like above board, so you can check my license plate, and I'm not doing anything wrong. So maybe the people who are worried are those people who are maybe not above board. So I'm a huge proponent of the flock cameras.
What do you think about, and I think a lot of people feel the same, Jane, and it's totally valid, and I'm really glad they've helped with crime in the community, because that's so important. But do you trust Metro's word that this data is not being shared with agencies like, I don't know, the first thing that popped in my head was like ICE or something like that, that it's just staying within their system? Does that worry you that it would be shared at all?
I think that I would like to trust that, but I think that we could also look further afield. I think if anyone has, you know, any kind of like docking station at home, or if you're scrolling through your phone and then, or you're talking with your friend and you talk about, I don't know, some like handbag, and then in your social media feed then comes up that brand of handbag. If people don't think they're being tracked already, then they're like gravely mistaken.
Yeah, that is a valid point, Jane. Thank you so much for calling. Let's talk to Alfie. Hey, Alfie, good morning. We're talking flock cameras. What do you think?
I don't like it. You said that there's people, privacy groups, it's privacy groups and me that are not okay with it. Right now, it sounds good on paper that it's here to patrol us. And as community members, when we feel that we're being watched, we act correct. So on paper, it sounds good. But when you add the human variable and put that there's people watching the surveillance footage, what are they watching? John Oliver did a special last week where they were looking at people working out at yoga facilities. They were looking at line kitchens to look for, I think, undocumented people. So it's not really serving the community for what we would like.
Yeah, like it sounds like some of these purposes are for some agenda that someone or some group may have. Yeah, the part that gets me that is that there was just like no community input before these got installed. That's mm-hmm. what bothers me. You know, I feel like transparency is really important, and nobody said anything. These just kind of went up, and I think that's what bugs me the most. Do I want crimes to be solved? Absolutely. Am I glad that they're helping in some communities? 100%. But I worry about this data collection that goes just way beyond plates capturing hard details, you know?
They're using, it sounds like they can take pictures of your face, they scan it. Technology's crazy nowadays. And they can, oh, they were at Walmart at 5 p.m. on Saturday. Like, that is what scares me the most.
Yeah, and if you're doing everything legally and above board, that's great. But I don't know if you saw this TikTok. This woman, this officer comes up to her front porch and is like, you stole this from this house, this package. And she's like, I did not. He's like, I got you on flock cameras. And she was in the area. But it was someone who looked similar to her.
Oh, no, no,
that
no.
did that. Mm-mm. And she got that, like, she had to go through this whole thing, and it's like, oh, it's just, I don't know.
It's messy.
Yeah, so more calls are coming in, a bunch of texts. Did you know some of the cameras watching your license plate every day weren't even paid for by your tax dollars? We're talking about these Flock cameras. Turns out a chunk of these Flock cameras, the whole network, was funded through private donations, including money from a venture capital firm, which that just rubs me the wrong way. That means a private company helped bankroll the surveillance system that's now reading plates all over Las Vegas. And it's not just local, it's nationwide. They did a review of over 12 million camera searches, and they found some agencies using the same technology. They use it to track people at political protests. One sheriff's office in Texas got caught using the system under the guise of a missing person case when it was actually being used to investigate an abortion. Metro insists none of this happens here. I'm going to believe them. You know, for right now, they haven't given me reason not to. They say the data stays with law enforcement. It's not shared with other agencies, but it does raise the question. Once a tool like this exists, how much do you trust that it stays used exactly the way they promise? Let's talk to Mark. Hey, Mark, good morning. What do you think?
Good morning. One side note, I love that Brooklyn is a senior. Yay!
Thank you. That's yes, amazing. I know. Blessing. Time Blessing. Goes by fast.
Yes. Now you could go on YouTube, and there's videos of hooligans cutting them down, and they got black masks on. They say, "Not in our neighborhood." So nobody likes them worldwide.
I don't know if I agree with doing that. You know, I don't know what the solution is, but committing a crime,
that's not necessary.
Yeah, that's probably not the way to go. Yeah, we're getting some texts here. Let me, gosh, so many texts on this. 702-364-9400. This one says multiple law enforcement has already been arrested for misusing Flock cameras. I don't know where that is. I'm going to take your word for it on that. This one says, as soon as the lady said she worked for the HOA, I knew her stance on that topic. This one says, a guy got arrested for buying THC in a neighboring state and going back home. If it's only legal and above board until they decide it's not. Someone says, if you have nothing to hide, why does any of this matter? Christina, good morning. What do you think?
Hi. I think that you don't have a reasonable expectation of privacy in public areas. There's cameras everywhere on businesses and homes, and you're already recorded in everything you do. They track your credit card use. They track you when you search. So I don't see, if you're not doing anything criminal, what the problem is.
Does it? That's a valid point. I definitely understand where you're going with that, but do you feel like them creating this database, that's kind of a little shady? And then also, like, who's they? You know, we hope it's just the police, but like, if this private equity firm is paying and funding this, then is it okay that they have the information too?
No, I don't think that it should be released to the private equity fund. But we have to trust that they're doing with it what they say, and there should be oversight.
Yeah, I feel like maybe this has the potential to get out of hand, and hopefully it does not. I'm going to, you know, I'm going to hope for the best on this.
Yeah.
But a security camera outside a gas station just kind of records the footage that sits there until someone specifically needs it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Flock cameras, security, they actively scan everything and are running against in real time and log it. And everywhere your car has ever been, like, I don't know. What if that someone makes a mistake and they think you look like someone else and they're like, you were there. You did this murder. You're like, wait, what? No, I don't know. The potential it has makes me a little nervous.
It kind of crosses the line. It kind of reminds me of those glasses that people record you on. Like, that's another boundary that needs to be set.
The meta glasses.
That girl was right. Christina, we're being recorded at all times. Anytime you step out of your apartment, you do not know who's recording you and what kind of information they're selling it to. I don't trust the meta glasses. I don't know if I trust these flock cameras.
Well, I mean, people with just the regular phones can record you when you walk
out
your door.
We're not safe.
We recorded each other many a times. Yeah, you just have to constantly be, you know, aware of your surroundings. But it's definitely a big conversation starter. And keep an eye out for them. I know you said you haven't seen them, but they're all over town.
Oh,
and you'll
boy.
Start noticing them. The red lights. Don't run them, Steph.
Okay.
Don't run them.
It's time for Heads Up with Mercedes in the Morning on Mix 94.1.
Okay. Is it Carmen or Carmine?
Carmine.
Carmine, good morning. You're caller 20. You're in.
Yay. Thank you. Hey.
Let's do this. Let's get you a 4-pack of these passes for the Slotzilla zip line. That's going to be so fun. Pick a category for Heads Up. Do you want to go with L is for lion, spill the tea, put it in writing, or roll with it?
Let's go with L is for lion.
All right. World Lion Day was yesterday. So these are all animals and or insects that start with the letter L, okay?
Okay.
L is, yeah, just L on the brain. We just need 6 and 60 seconds, and we're going to get you these passes. Are you ready?
Yes, okay. I'm ready.
All right, guys, your 60 seconds for Heads Up. It starts now.
This animal is the king of the jungle.
Lion.
Yes. This is, they're red with black polka dots on them. It's a bug.
Ladybug?
Yes. Ooh, almost said it. this is, they like run around and eat the bugs in your yard. They're little, they're like reptiles. They're what?
Oh, lizards.
Yes. I'm going to pass on this one. This is supposed to be one of the fastest cats out there. They have spots on it.
Leopard?
Yes. This is, you might order this and dip it in butter at a restaurant. You crack the shell in a steak and what?
Lobster.
Yes. This is an animal that like has a really long neck and it spits on you, I guess.
Oh, llama.
Yeah! Carmine, you got it. Nice job. Congratulations.
Thank you.
You are going to have a blast. This is going to be so fun. We have a family 4-pack of tickets for you to check out the Slotzilla Zipline downtown Fremont.
Here we go. Mix 94.1, home of Mercedes in the Morning.
Is tipping at a fast food kiosk where nobody's carrying anything to your table, nobody's refilling your drink, is that completely insane to you? Because I saw this TikTok last week. It has me questioning everything. Did you hear about that Shake Shack situation?
Yes.
This is crazy. If you haven't seen it, you know, this couple, they walk into a Shake Shack. They order from one of those self-service kiosks, 3 milkshakes, nothing crazy. I think it was like between $6 and $6.50 each. So they get to the checkout and it hits them with the tipping screen. 15%, 18, 20, or no tip. So they hit no tip because, again, it's a milkshake. It's not a 4-course meal or anything here. And then this little pop-up appears out of nowhere and it says, uh-oh, there has been a pricing update to one or more of your cart items. They go back to the look at the cart and every single shake just quietly went up 50 cents.
It's crazy.
All because they said no thanks to the tips. So obviously the internet has lost its mind when they posted this, and it raised all these questions like, was that price bump only happening because they declined the tip? Would it have happened if they tipped a dollar, a single penny even? Was this some kind of a software glitch, or did someone actually build this on purpose? And if it wasn't purpose, how is that even legal? So Shake Shack, they've come out and they said this is not their policy, and that they looked into it with the licensee who was running that specific airport location in Salt Lake City. So they're framing it up as an isolated thing. Some people believe that. Some are kind of like, I don't know. I did see another person go to a different Shake Shack and they did the same thing and it did not change the price.
Oh, that's interesting.
It did not. So just in their defense. But it's funny because the Shake Shack founder, he said like a few years ago in an interview that customers should never feel obligated to tip on something simple, and that he was completely fine with people tipping $0. So this whole like charge more when you don't tip thing doesn't exactly line up with that, if that was the case. But it sounds like it might have been an isolated location, which is fine. But when did tipping at like fast food places become the norm?
I never knew about this. I never knew, like, when people check out, there's a tipping option at fast food places. And rumor has it at that Shake Shack, or someone that ordered Shake Shack, they asked the employees, they said, hey, if I were to tip on this kiosk, do you guys get a percentage? And they said no.
They don't even get it. No. So who gets the tips?
Exactly.
I'm so tipped out. I know that sounds bad. And this city, I know so many of you work for tips, but I think there's some jobs that are asking for tips that I've never known to take tips before. And I don't know what the protocol is, like a fast food place, or if I go somewhere and I get a drink and then they ask for a tip and it's like, well, I just went through the drive-thru and you just gave me my drink. Am I supposed to tip you on that?
No.
Has this gotten out of control? I don't know what the protocol is. 702-364-9400. Is there like a job that you're seeing ask for tips now and you're wondering, am I supposed to tip them, or is this just a money grab? I don't know on some of these things.
I don't tip at takeout, and people like, what? You don't tip at takeout? No, I don't tip at takeout. What did they do? For example, I go to this Greek restaurant and I never sit down. I always take takeout and I call them in. First of all, it's not even a real human being I'm talking to. It's an AI person I'm getting my order from. All the person's doing is, when I get to the restaurant, is they're bagging it up. They're putting me in the cashier and they send me off. That's their job.
Okay, so I do tip on takeout, and I'll tell you why. It's the packing up stuff. It's you know, getting everything in, making sure everything is correct. I do tip. Do I tip 20% like if I dined in there? Absolutely not. I'll tip like $3, $5 if it's a ton of food, you know, stuff like
that's
that.
That's over tipping, Mercedes.
I just feel like they are doing something. It's not like they're grabbing it from the counter and they're packing up the whole meal.
That's their job, though.
What is it? Is it their job to do that for free, or like, are they getting?
They're getting paid to put stuff in the bag.
Do you know that for sure?
Oh,
like,
for
are
sure.
They getting their hourly wage? Is it the same as someone else?
I mean, it depends on who's the manager and stuff like that. But yeah, if they're putting, all they're doing is putting stuff in, there's no customers added to that. It's not like, hey, I added extra things and stuff like that. Like that, literally, they're just putting boxes in a bag. I'm not giving you 20% for that. I'm sorry.
No, I don't tip 20%, but I tip like $3 to $5. I feel like, thank you for packing this up so I don't have to like come in here and eat. I don't know. That's just how I am. But Kylie, hey, good morning. What do you think about tipping? Is it out of control?
Hi, good morning. I do think it's out of control. And this is, like, I'm a server. We're in the restaurant business. And, like, in my opinion, you know, tipping service and stuff, you're tipping an experience, right? So if you go in and you have a computer taking your order and you're walking to put your drinks and everything, like, what is the experience? What are you tipping for? So, yeah, I do think absolutely.
Who deserves tips in your mind?
Like, if you go to sit down, like, a full-service restaurant, you know, busser, server, food runner, those people, your bartenders, your hairdressers, and nail salons, and people who do your grocery pickup.
On the grocery pickup, too. Yeah, that's a lot of work, especially if you order a lot of groceries. Thanks for calling, Kylie. Let's talk to Corey. Corey, hey, good morning. What do you think?
Hey, good morning, gang. You know, I go to a Chinese restaurant probably two or three times a month. I get the number 13, and I'm not going to tip on my food you put in a box, let alone the Diet Coke or the Coke you gave me in a can. I mean, come on. I'm not enjoying the ambiance. I'm not enjoying the crazy music. It's not mixed. Hello.
The crazy music that we play for
you. I feel you on that.
We just got a text that says, I'm a server. When people do phone orders to go, it's taking time out of our busy schedule to our sit-down customers that do tip 20% or more to pack up all your stuff. Take your order. Half the time, you guys don't even know what you want to order and send it off to you guys. It's a lot of tedious work we have to do. So they're saying it is a lot of work, and they do need those tips. Let's talk to Maggie. Hey, Maggie, good morning. We're talking about tipping. Is it out of control? What do you think?
Good morning. I've been in the restaurant industry for about 17 years. To me, it's like a slap in the face because I know I work hard for my tips because I actually, kind of like what the other girl said, I give them an experience. You know, you come in, you don't have to worry about anything. I refill your drinks. I bring you your food. You know, if I'm at a freaking Ziosk, that's kind of ridiculous to expect a tip. You know, for people doing their job at that point, I should tip, you know, Walmart at the self-checkout.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. Like, where it's a fast food place, like someone just texted about In-N-Out. If I have to go up to the order my food at the counter and pick it up, they don't get a tip. In-N-Out does not accept tips. Yeah, I've never tipped at a place like that before. But like, I've been at T-Mobile Arena for a Golden Knights game, and I go and I buy a bottle of water. And then it asks if I want to leave a tip, and I'm like, for who? I just grabbed it myself. Like, who am I supposed to tip for that?
Same with the airport kiosk when they ask you, when you go and scan out, there's no person there. Maybe there is one person there. Did I even interact with them? Maybe a hi, but they didn't give me the water, but they're not making the bottle. They're not putting the water in it.
It's crazy. Insane. Yeah, it's so much. So I don't keep your eye on stuff like that. If you're a no tipper, especially on automated kiosks, make sure that the price doesn't mysteriously change after you say no tip, because number one, you might get be charged more. And number two, that tip is probably not even going to the person you think it is. So
you ready? It's time for the Hot 3 on Mix 94.1.
That song was interesting.
Are we going to report it to our boss?
I'm literally writing an email right now.
Are you really?
Yes.
Are you being a music Karen?
Yes.
Why are we playing this song? What are the rankings on this?
It wasn't that. It was more like, was that supposed to play during our show? I was like, whoa. You and I looked at each other like,
interesting choice.
Okay.
Anyway.
Yeah, so
back to the
three. Someone at a UK radio station found a big red do not touch button and touched it anyway. Radio Caroline accidentally aired not one, not two, but three pre-recorded statements claiming King Charles had died. All live on the Barry Marr Show back in May. I guess the UK's communication watchdog investigated and they just released what actually happened, and it's wild. So the third message even claimed news media had confirmed the king's death. The station played the national anthem, repeated one of the death announcements again, and followed all of that with about 16 straight minutes of dead silence. But here's the kicker. This host was working remotely, and a staffer that was just doing some maintenance back at the station stumbled across these pre-recorded emergency files. So it was just out of pure curiosity that he played them. He's like, oh, what do these sound like? And it went over the air and literally like turned the country into chaos.
What a dummy.
The staffer got disciplined, and those files are now locked down tight. Moral of the story, if you ever find a folder at work labeled in case the king dies, maybe don't press play just to see what's inside.
You know what's crazy, and I learned it from watching The Crown, is they really prepare for these types of deaths ahead of time. And it sounds like celebrities in general, like, didn't someone come out saying like, no, I didn't die. I'm here. I'm alive.
Yeah, a lot of the news stations especially, they have these packages ready to go for when they die. And it's morbid, but it's so they're not left scrambling. So, you know, older actors and stuff, I'd be willing to guess that there's probably a, I don't know. I'm not going to say names because...
Yeah, knock on wood. Oh, that was me knocking on wood.
Oh, my God.
Because I'm thinking of a name. Oh, I'm sorry.
I thought someone was...
And plus, these mics pick up so much hotter than they used to. But I'm thinking of a celebrity right now, and I'm scared to say it, but...
Is it the same one? Does it start with an M?
No, it starts with a B. I think I know who you're thinking of now.
Who?
Are you thinking of Michael J. Fox?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was thinking of Bruce Willis.
What?
I'm sorry.
I was thinking of Morgan Freeman.
Oh, okay.
And Robert De Niro.
Oh, Robert De Niro. Doesn't he have a kid, though? He just got like his eighth kid at 80.
Al Pacino.
Al Pacino,
oh,
too.
Yeah. Oh, man. Okay. Well, yeah, we didn't mean it. We were just using examples.
Yes, exactly.
Also this morning, a new poll asked people how much of the instructions they actually read when they get a new appliance or a new gadget. And the answers explain so much about why everyone's smart TV setup is completely wrong. Only 14% of people say they read the entire manual cover to cover. I don't. That's a waste of time. Do you read an entire instruction manual?
I look at the pictures.
Yeah. If there's like a 1, 2, 3, 4 process, I'll read that. But I'm not reading it cover to cover. No. Are you kidding me?
Well, it's like reading terms and conditions. You ever read those?
Yeah, no. I approve. Oh, yeah, I probably just sent my life away. But, you know, whatever. It's funny because they say that the twist that on this whole argument thing is that boomers are more likely to read the instructions than Gen Z. That does not surprise me whatsoever. 16% of boomers read the whole thing, while just 12% of Gen Z does. So, you know, all that teasing that, you know, young kids give you about them having to set up their parents' phones and setting up their network, maybe they're onto something by not reading the instructions.
And 9 times out of 10, these instruction videos are on YouTube. All you gotta do is go on YouTube, say, how to put together my office chair from Costco 2026. And immediately, there's my chair.
Some guy did it, and there it is. Yeah. All right, finally this morning, Oreo just dropped 2 new flavors in China that are really testing the limits of what people are willing to put in their mouth for the sake of a snack. Now, first up, we've got the new KFC Spicy Chicken Oreos.
Okay.
Sit with that for a second. Oh, like, all right. What? It's a chocolate sandwich cookie with a fried chicken flavored cream filling, complete with the KFC logo embossed right on the cookie instead of the usual Oreo design.
Sounds gross, but down to try.
I don't think I would want to try it. Okay. This one I will, though. The caramel popcorn Oreo. That sounds very reasonable. Caramel popcorn flavored cream, little popcorn buckets stamped on top. The internet's reaction has been exactly what you think. One person online said they'll try the popcorn one, but that's where they draw the line. The chicken ones, they say, can stay in China. But right now, there are zero plans to bring either flavor to the U.S. Have you guys tried the BTS Oreos?
No, yes, I want to try.
I have them in my pantry right now.
They're so good, aren't they?
Tell me more.
Oh my gosh, they are so good. They're like is it Hoseok, the Korean snack? It's like a pancake, and oh my gosh, it is so delicious.
And it's purple, right?
Yes.
Yeah, it's purple.
I would think like it's ube flavored when I'm looking at it.
It's not. It's delicious. We have some. Good, yes. We'll bring I'll bring some tomorrow so you can try
them. I would love to try one. Yeah, but don't give me too many because I'm on a diet.
Oh, you'll just need one and you'll start saying swim.